Morning. Welcome. Today we have Bethany at 2 o'clock. And after the service today, you're also welcome out to the Camp Kiriakis for their potluck. Some prayer requests for Amanda's grandfather, Jerry Hope. He's in the Cranbrook Hospital, so remember him in your prayers. Are there any other prayer requests? Any other announcements? Rafi will do the psalm, and Jordan will do the prayer, and Tom will bring the message. We'll start. 237.
Amen. The psalm reading today is Psalm 103, verses 1 to 13. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. For who forgiveth all thine iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him.
Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of gathering together around thy word, and we pray that you would both open the understanding and the mouth of the speaker today, and open the hearts and the ears of the congregation here, that we would be filled and fed from that eternal living water, which is in the Word of God. I pray that you would strengthen all those who are, each of us has our different struggles and challenges. You know better than we know ourselves what we need. We pray that you'd give us what we need and give us humility and love for the brethren. Help us to be that light in the world that that those who are not believing would see, and that they would have a desire also to come to know our Savior Jesus. Now let us pray that prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father,
which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
May the grace, mercy, and peace be granted unto you from God the Father and His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, through that indwelling Spirit who guides and directs. Amen. The text today is the 14th chapter of Romans. I don't normally look at a calendar text, but this one kind of caught my eye. The other calendar text was, I believe, was the last chapter of Genesis, chapter 50, I believe 15 to 21. And I looked at that one, and this is the one that it's the second reading. And we're going to read that in Jesus' name. So it's Romans chapter 14. The calendar says 1 to, I believe, 16. We're going to read 1 to 19. And we'll read it in Jesus' name. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another, who is weak, eateth herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. He that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. He that eateth not, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and the living. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in a brother's way. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth it, esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if any brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat. For whom Christ died, let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make peace and things wherewith one may edify another. Sanctify these words, Father, for thy word is truth. So when we start this text, you read the first verse, and you stumble. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Weak in the faith compared to who? Our mind is automatically judging. We are not seeing afar off. Him that is weak in the faith, what does he do? He can eat anything. But somebody that is, him that is weak in the faith cannot eat anything, can only eat herbs. Him that is strong in the faith can eat anything. This is the example. We're all weak in the faith compared to Christ. So we have to have the mind of Christ, the understanding of Christ, the grace of Christ, the knowledge of Christ, the wisdom of Christ. So we'll start this text in verse 17, and then we'll read from 14, 1 to 16. So our mind and our hearts are established in what is the text. There's three things that the text is focusing on. What does the kingdom of God look like? This is one. Why do we continue to judge when we are instructed not to judge one another? What are we supposed to judge? And because we are weak, we judge by our senses and our flesh. Let's start at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness. You are righteous because of Him. He has imputed righteousness unto you, and you have imputed sin into Him. Peace, the peace that passes understanding, and the joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. In what? In the Holy Ghost. In what Christ has done on the cross. So when we read this verse, for the kingdom of God is likened. What is the kingdom of God likened unto? Let's look in Luke chapter 13. Verse 18 to 20. Or 18 to 21. It's the parable of the mustard seed and the parable of the leaven. Then said he unto what is the kingdom of God like, and whereunto shall I resemble it? What is the kingdom of God like? And how am I going to resemble the kingdom of God? How am I going to be an ambassador for the kingdom of God? How am I, as a believer in Christ, going to draw people to the kingdom? How do I represent it? Well, it says here in 19, it says, it is like a grain of mustard seed which a man took, cast it into the garden, and it grew and waxed a great tree, and the fowl of the air lodged in, and branches, and the branches of it. So a man puts a seed, a mustard seed, throws it into the garden, and what happens? It grows a humongous tree. And what does that tree produce? Height, depth, width, branches. For what? So birds can lodge there, rest there, wings. It is a great tree, and the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. What is that? How does that look as far as us goes? John chapter 15. 1 to 5. So if we look at this spiritually, my heart is broken, lowly, and contrite. How come? because God allowed it to be broken, lowly, and contrite. Grace is easy to enter because that heart needs a Savior. That heart is not established on works. That heart is not established on what you can do to get yourself out of this mess. That heart is established on brokenness. It's lowly and contrite. So grace enters. The favor of God enters the heart. The spirit of grace enters. It says here in 15, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. So we have the broken and contrite heart, which is lowly. Grace has entered. There's a seed that's planted by God the Father. It's the seed of faith. You have faith now. Then what happens? Enter the leaven. And grain, he said, he says, the fowls of the air lodge in the branches of it. And this is in Luke again. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What does leaven do? It increases something. Makes something bigger. It rises things. But there's something that definitely leaven does. When you look at something that doesn't have leaven and something that does have leaven, there is a change. An absolute change from without the leaven. So the seed of faith is planted. In the heart that was broken, lowly, and contrite, where grace entered. So we have faith by grace. We have the seed of faith planted by our Father. Leaven has entered and changed us. We are now changed. We are now being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are set apart from the world for His glory and for His kingdom. If we go back to the text, it says, about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We're starting to get the picture. What's important? Christ and Him crucified. Christ and Him rising again. The seed of faith that is being planted. The conformity to the image of Christ is starting. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. You have faith. You are acceptable to God and you're approved of men. There is something different about this person. This is not the same person I knew before. They've changed. Leaven has entered. The seed of faith has been planted. So it says here, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. What is our joy? Our joy is in Christ, the work of the cross, and our elder brother, because we are His ambassador. Our joy is there. We are joyful. We are content. We are at rest. Where does our mind go? It focuses on things. Let us therefore follow after these things, after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Steve spoke beautifully on these things in Philippians 4, 8, and 9. This is where our mind goes. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtue, which is power, the power of the word, the power of God. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, Paul's saying, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. So this is where our focus is, on these things. Why? Because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. There's another text, Matthew 6, 25 to 34, that is important. And it focuses on what not to think about. That's Matthew 6, 25 to 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. He planted a tree for them, they can lodge and rest. Are ye not much better than they? Are we not more important to the kingdom than the birds? Absolutely we are. Which of you, by taking one thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall I eat, or what shall I drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Food, raiment, and no thought for tomorrow. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the tomorrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The thoughts of the flesh think for tomorrow. What am I going to do tomorrow? We read this and it says meat and drink. It says it's not meat and drink. In Matthew it says don't think about that. Our mind goes to that. What are we going to do? Our conversation goes to that. What are we going to have for lunch today? What things do I have to do tomorrow? What am I going to put on today? What am I going to wear? The kingdom of God is not that. So now we have the mind of Christ. We have what the kingdom of God is about, what has been established in the Word. So we can read this text now, understanding it. Him that is weak in the faith, which is me, which is us, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Who is someone that is weak in the faith? If you compare it to Christ, it's all of us. But it's someone that has a person that basically doubts God does what he says. With who and what he's created, which is all things. We doubt that he can do what he says he's going to do, when he's going to do it, and how he's going to do it. He created the world in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. We believe that by faith. He's the author and finisher of our faith. Boy, I better get going. I better work at this. He created the world in 6 days, and we believe that. He rested on the seventh. He's the author and finisher of my faith. I better make sure I think about tomorrow. The heart can't comprehend the things of God because it wants to do it on her own. So God has to give us a new heart that is molded and it's framed according to his will and way. So now we read it and it says, not to doubtful disputation. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs. So now how do we judge? I can eat anything. It's fantastic. I'm not guilty. I can eat anything. And that person over there, he can eat herbs, which is fantastic to him too. We're not going to judge whether he's strong or weak in the faith because the kingdom of God is not meat. It's not drink. It's not what we think of tomorrow. So we look at this, let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Well, that's easy because the person eating herbs is eating herbs, and he prays to God and he says, I'm thankful for the herbs that you've given me. And the person that eats meat is thankful for the meat that he's given him. There's no discrepancy, there's no difference. But if we read it without seeing afar off of what he's trying to teach us, we're automatically going to judge. Well, I'm better than him because I can eat all things. That's not where this text is going. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. Let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth, yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. I don't think there's any herb eaters here. There might be. But when you judge the herb eater, you're judging God's servant. It's God. It's up to God to make him fall or stand. It's not up to us. That stops us from judging. This herb eater has intrinsic value. God created him for a purpose in his kingdom. He's created for honor or he's created for dishonor. It's up to God. God's able to hold him up, make him stand. One man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I've heard this spoken on many times in conversation. The Bible says, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Take one day of the week that you just focus on Christ. Focus on what he has done for you, what he's doing for you, what he has done. Who he is, what he is, what he means to you. Spend one day doing that. And then you do that. And people argue over the Sabbath. Is it Saturday or is it Sunday? Well, I think of God every day, 7 days a week. Good for you. Your mind is on judgment. It's not on seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's not on the Philippians 4, 8, and 9. What is true? What is lovely? What is just? He that regardeth the day regardeth unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, and he that giveth God thanks. He that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. What's he saying? He's saying the person that's the herb eater is giving thanks to the Lord for the herbs. The person that's the meat eater is giving thanks. There's no difference. We're not to judge that. For none of us liveth to himself, and no man dieth to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, or whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. This eighth verse is talking about lordship theology. First Corinthians 2, 14 and 15. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. Another thing we judge, judgeth all things. Yet he himself is judged of no man. Why? Because he's judging all things according to the foreknowledge of the kingdom of God. He's judging all things spiritually. He's not judging all things comparing himself to that person, what he does compared to what he's judging things compared to what Christ is and what Christ does. Second Corinthians 2:14 to 16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and them that perish. We are a sweet savor. Whether we're on our deathbed or whether we're alive and working in the kingdom, we're a sweet savor. And it says, now, thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ. So we are supposed to judge spiritually all things. But there's another thing we judge. And it's in this very text. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught, this is the 10th verse, by thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or occasion to fall in his brother's way. What is a stumbling block or occasion to fall? An influence that is against the Bible, against the Word of God. Something that is taught that the Word does not state. It's a falsehood. It's a fake. It's a counterfeit. That's a stumbling block. You're influencing somebody in the ways of the world, the ways of the flesh, or the ways of Satan. And the lordship theology is basically saying God is Lord over all. Philippians 2, 8 to 13. A and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, Christ, and given him a name which is above every name. He's preeminent. That at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Proverbs 16:4. The Lord hath made all things for himself, even the wicked for the day of evil. Isaiah 45:5-8. I am the Lord, there is none else, there is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun, from the west, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's lordship theology. Everyone shall give an account of himself to God. What is that account? I'm broken, lowly, and contrite. Except for the grace of God, I am nothing. Except for the seed that's planted of faith, I can move nowhere. Except for the being set apart and sanctified in his kingdom, I can't walk. I can't take a step forward or a step back. It's all God. Let us not therefore judge one another, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't influence somebody to go against the word. Just influence people to be in the word, in season, reading the word, studying the word, admonishing the word, obeying the word. Because we judge with the hearing of the ears and with our senses. Unless we know what the kingdom looks like, and then we judge spiritually. A few years ago, probably many years ago, probably 25, 30 years ago, I don't know the exact time, a pastor was reading in the newspaper of his hometown or the area, and there was a fire, and all the firemen went to the fire hall, went out of the fire hall, went to this fire. They had spent hours on it trying to put it out. They've evacuated most of the people. The firemen finally, they looked at this place. This whole building's going to fall apart. It's going to collapse. They all went outside. The fireman says, there's nothing else we can do. They started looking at the people. Okay, we pulled. Who were in the building? We keep track here. Okay. Somebody was missing. A little boy was missing. The fireman said, we can't go in there. We cannot go in there. So a guy runs into the building. He's in there for minutes at a time. People are waiting. He went past the barricade, ran into the building, into a flaming fire. He comes out with a bundle in his hands, and everybody's cheering. He puts the bundle down. It was his life savings. How do we judge that? I know what you're thinking. The boy's still in there. He's still in there. He's dying. He came out with his life savings. What a greedy person. Who would do that? What if the person ran in and the newspaper said, person went in, he died. How would we judge? He's a hero. Because he died trying to save the boy. We have no idea what went on in there. But we judge. The Bible says that Jesus will take us through fire, and he'll take us through the flood, but all come through the blood. We're so poor at judging. But spiritually, we can judge. Spiritually, we can say, it doesn't matter who's in that building. If the person went in and dragged somebody out of that building, and he had a little mustache, and he had a swastika on his arm, we would be, as the spiritual Christian would say, Christ has saved a human being. Thanks be to God. That person is not going to burn forever. That's the spiritual thing. The judging of the flesh is, who would ever save Hitler? And I'm not saying Hitler's saved. That's not what I'm saying. It's the spiritual understanding of who we are, what we are, and what God does through grace that is given to somebody that's broken, lowly, and contrite, that is given the seed of faith planted in his heart, so that he is changed by the leaven, changed from a person that was pretty well useless to a person that is a brother of Jesus Christ, useful in his kingdom at the potter's hands. That's what we are. I know, and I'm persuaded by Jesus Christ that there's nothing unclean of itself and is going into the cleaning part of it. If we read the 15th chapter of this next chapter of this text, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not please ourselves. Let everyone please his neighbor for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee, fell on me. The sins fell on me. For whosoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus. Let's close in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for your Son. We thank you for giving us the ability to judge all things and to judge whether or not we are a stumbling block. We thank you, Father, for the ability to spiritually judge by the learning of what is in the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father, for focusing, giving us the ability to focus on what is lovely and what is pure and what is just. Father, keep us from judging with the seeing of the ears and the hearing, the seeing of the eyes and the hearing of the ears. Give us the ability to judge spiritually with matters of faith, and be an ambassador to you as we are the hands and feet of Christ, and we need that guidance and direction daily. We ask that in Jesus' name. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's close with 556.